Philippians chapter 1, and because I'll be doing verses 7 through 11, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 to bring us into the whole context of the reading. Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you and ask your blessing upon the reading of the scriptures this morning. Pray, Father, that you will edify us in faith and build us up in our most holy walk with you, that we may be sanctified, that we may be set apart as the people of God, and that we may bring glory and praise to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, the title of the message this morning is In Defense of the Gospel. And realizing the life of the Apostle Paul, we know that he was such an apostle as to defend the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul himself, under the persecution of the culture of his own day, faced many obstacles, and of course he, as an apostle, sought to encourage the believers at Philippi, as well as Ephesus and Corinth. And so we find that he writes to them about Christian experience in the book of Philippians. And we want to look at some of those things he says here in this passage this morning. And so as he continues his writing to them, he says, even as it is fit or meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. First thing that we notice here in verse 7 is that he had the people of Philippi, as it were, bound up in his heart. Now, when we think of the heart of the Apostle Paul, we think of his great emotional and passion for the people that he ministered to. His emotions were that which led him to become the person that he was as an apostle. Emotionally, he had been greatly brought to the place of conversion, because we find on the road to Damascus he faced the Lord Jesus himself in a vision, and that it affected him so greatly that as the Lord spoke to him, he became an apostle out of due time, as it were. Not one of the original 12, but one who was driven by his own experience with the Lord. And as we many times do refer to our experiences concerning our faith, we find that the Apostle Paul was driven by the very thing that happened to him on that Damascus road, that he was changed forever, and that his heart became very much enlarged to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, I trust that you have a heart for ministering the gospel of our Lord. And you may do it in many different ways, but it is the center of your inmost being that wants to tell others about Jesus in some, by some means or other, and by any means if necessary. And for the Apostle Paul, his heart was greatly affected to go and to encourage the believers at Philippi. He says, "Even as it is fit for me to think this of you all." Now we know that he had already said much already here concerning the work which God had begun in them at Philippi. He had said much to them about their fellowship and about how that he was praying for them, and of the grace and peace of God which was evident because of Christ's work in them. His heart was full of these wonderful truths which embody the Christian faith. And I trust that this morning your heart is full of those same truths that you desire to tell others about Christ and to live out your Christian experience because of a great heart for God. He says, "Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds." Well, we understand that for the apostle, part of his experience was his bonds, that is his persecution, those things that he suffered for the Lord, even if it meant Roman imprisonment, and at times perhaps beatings, or being a shipwrecked, or going through many difficult trials and sufferings which he did for Christ. But he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And so it was necessary in his own heart and his own life to suffer those things for the gospel's sake. And for us as well, it is for us to bear the same things, perhaps only in a different way, but yet in truth and in sincerity, it is for the sake and the defense of the confirmation of the gospel that we witness Christ, that we live the things that we live for the Lord, that we believe the things that we believe because of what Christ has done for us and what he is doing through us. Now, of course, this is a very tall order, we might say. How do we live up to such a high ideal as these things? But we find that the grace of God is sufficient to help us to live up to the Christian faith. And he mentions this, saying, "Ye all are partakers of my grace." Now, what does he mean by that? Well, first of all, we would have to understand it within the context of the grace of God which he himself had received. Paul possessed no more grace than you and I do apart from Jesus Christ. And so the grace which he preached was that grace which was through the Lord Jesus. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the grace which he preached was that grace of Christ. The life which he lived was by grace. As the word grace means favor, and especially the favor of God toward man, that favor which brings one into a relationship with Christ. And so what did Paul preach? But he preached the gospel of the saving grace of God. And he desired that the church at Philippi might do the same and might live out the same in their own lives. And so the confirmation, the defense and confirmation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was bound up in that grace which God had administered to him. And it is the same for us, of course, that we cannot live for the defense and confirmation of the gospel apart from the grace of God. The saving grace of God initially that brings us into the right relationship with Christ, and secondly, the very experiences which we experience must be born upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the apostle himself bore those experiences upon the grace of the Lord. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Secondly, we find here that he talks about this sense of emotion, if you will, or passion, which he had. And in verse 8 he says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." And we think about the bowels at the center of our being. It's the emotional part of, in the Old Testament, of how that they spoke about how that they were driven with such passion and resolve. We might say it's the affection that we have of Christ. We might even use the sense of a heart for Christ. But it is that deep yearning or that intense, compassionate love exhibited by the heart or the life of Jesus Christ in each of us. It says, "I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ," in the affection of Christ, in the same emotional driven part of my life that has come to grips with who Christ is and how that he came to die for our sins according to the scriptures. It's the affection that is the center of our emotion driven part of our hearts. What drives you to do the things that you do? You know, some people have many great different passions. You might have a passion to drive a race car as fast as you can, or you might have a passion to do skydiving, or you might have a passion to climb the side of a mountain, which seems to be impossible. Many different passions drive people. But when something changes your heart and your life so greatly as an encounter with Jesus Christ, that is supposed to be a driving passion in our lives. And it was a driving passion in the Apostle Paul, because it caused him to go and to tell the message of Christ to a great many different people. And it caused him to write these letters to the various churches. It caused him to bear the same experiences of suffering that many had suffered before and would suffer afterwards. And it is that which should drive us as well. And so he talks about that. "For God is my record." Who can testify to your passion for the Lord but the Lord himself? Someone may say, well, I have a great desire to live for Christ. They may say, I'd like to go to the mission field and serve the Lord in some capacity. They may give some other particular goal or ambition that they have. But who can give testimony to the true intent and desire of that passion except the Lord himself? In fact, that is the very thing, the very one who seems to drive people to be missionaries, to be pastors, to be servants in some sacrificial way. They go because they feel they are called of God to do so. They go because their hearts are so full of the desire to serve the Lord that they cannot fulfill themselves in any other way but to go and to do and to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul calls upon the Lord himself. He says, God is my record. God is my record. You see, there is someone that knows you deep down inside, isn't there? He knows each one of us. God is the one who knows our true heart for him. And we must fulfill that which we know to be true, to live for Christ, to honor Christ, to glorify the Lord. And to do anything else, we feel like we have, in some sense, not been true to the calling that God has laid upon us. No, everyone will not be a pastor. Everyone will not be a servant on a missionary field. Everyone will not go and to do the same thing that the Apostle Paul is doing. But in your own way, as you have been called of God unto faith and grace in Christ, you can serve the Lord. Right where you are, doing what you're doing, looking for the opportunities, listening to the Spirit of God speak to you, being compelled to live out your Christian experience in a way that fulfills the whole heart and affection of Christ in you for others. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of the affections of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, he goes on in verse 9, and he says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I'd like to emphasize the statement there, knowledge and judgment. Sometimes we think about our relationship to Christ, and we sometimes are very zealous concerning the Lord, and at other times perhaps we are quite cool in the sense that we're not driven quite as strongly as we might be when we are more zealous about our feelings for Christ. I see the whole idea here Paul is getting at is that we are not driven by feelings alone. We must have knowledge. The knowledge of Christ is very important. You see, a person is saved because they have in them a true sense of the knowledge of Christ in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so knowledge is very, very important. The apostle was not only very knowledgeable about many different things, he was, of course, became knowledgeable about the Lord Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Christ. Having that encounter with Christ was an emotional experience, but it also was an enlightening experience. The knowledge of God was impacted him in a way that it had never impacted him before. Now remember, Paul was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. Certainly he knew the law. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He had learned everything that he needed to learn concerning the Old Testament scripture. And now he had learned something else, that Christ was the true Messiah of God, that he was the one who came in the fulfillment of scripture. Now you may talk to somebody about their religion, You may talk to them about their faith, but you will find out that if it is only knowledge alone, they probably have not got the reality of the situation yet. But knowledge cannot be discounted. So what does he say? And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. And so he puts together the love of God and the knowledge of God, and he speaks about their discernment, judgment. And we could interject the word discernment there. But the love of God, which has come upon the individual's life, such as the apostle, and the knowledge of God, which has impacted his life, became the catalyst for the affectionate desire to preach Christ unto others. And I'd just like to say to you as well this morning that you need the love of God, but you need the knowledge of God too. The love of God in your relationship to Christ is something very important, of course, that you realize that God loved you and gave himself for you. But the knowledge of God is going to help you be sustained when others will try to cast doubt upon your beliefs. And so we need the knowledge of God. We need that knowledge that God can give to us. Knowledge and discernment. And if we are going to stand in the defense and confirmation of the gospel of Christ, these things will be very important in our lives. And so he talks about this knowledge, which is bound up in the love of God and gives us a true sense of discernment. So these three areas become important to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Partakers of his grace, being bound up in the affectionate desire of Jesus himself, and in the knowledge and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have a true discernment in our Christian experience. So this boils down to living a life which is not only sincere and true in the Lord, but by faith and through grace. And that I trust that as you consider what the apostle is saying here, you will see that he uses the scripture to confirm these things. Reading verse 10 and 11 in closing, he says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, till the coming of Christ. So he talks about that sincerity. And then in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And when we think about the fruits of righteousness, we know those are the things that we do. The things that come out in how they are manifested in our life. Are we living in a godly manner to honor God and to glorify him in defense of the gospel of Christ? Shall we pray? Loving Father, pray that you will take your word and place it in our hearts, and Lord, help us to see those things that are most important in our own lives, Father, that you may be glorified through us, and that we may praise you, Father, and may glorify the Lord Jesus, and may live in the true defense and confirmation of the gospel in our lives. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.